You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight, we talk about Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula. Fuck, that's a lot to say.
How many people have authorship over this movie?
You, no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a bear.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your hosts. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Gallen.
The blood is life, Brian.
Oh, yeah. It is life. Yeah, that's true. Facts that you learned from Dracula. We also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Insert witty Keanu reference here. Hey.
Whoa.
I mean, hey.
Well, no. So, never said whoa once. Just continue.
Not in this movie.
I filled it in my fucking head. Like there were several spots where I was like, oh, there goes a whoa, there goes a dude. They just cut it out.
They just cut it out.
Whoa. We also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones. Hey, and here we are talking about the 1992 Bram Stoker's Dracula. Right? Good movie. Good movie. Yes. The last great Francis Ford Coppola film?
Ooh.
Question mark?
Wow.
Throwing that out there?
I have to double check your math.
Wow.
Nobody saw Megalopolis?
Yeah, did not see that. Nope.
No.
All right, spoilers.
I want to.
Not yeah. Very good.
Oh, shocking.
No fans of Jack with Robin Williams?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No, I did not love that. I remember watching it and feeling rather like unsettled after the movie was over. Like, yeah, that didn't feel good. No.
I never saw the Twix movie. I never saw that film.
Twins?
No, what was it? I think it was called Twix. What was the one with
Twix?
What are you talking about? With one of the Dakota Fanning
Twix.
Or her sister?
One of the
Twix?
Fannings.
Twix, is that what it is? Yeah, I never saw that. The one with Val Kilmer.
Twixt.
There we go. Again, never saw it.
Yeah.
No.
There was a second version of that as well called Betwixt Now and Sunrise.
Let me guess. It's a recut version. Because that's like Coppola's thing now. He goes back and like re-edits his. How many times has he recut?
Oh, yeah. Experience the authentic cut.
Oh, my God.
He just put out like, what was it? The Godfather Part 3? The Coda or something like that? I forgot what that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where he went back and recut the Godfather Part 3.
Well, you know. Didn't He's like, I really get it now. It took me a while to think about it, but I know what to do with that now.
So yeah, I'm gonna go with since everybody's being quiet here, yeah, but best last great Coppola film, yeah, that's what I'm gonna go with.
We just haven't seen all the other ones, but yeah, so I guess that means that yeah, this is probably the best.
Yeah, I gotta say I'm staying quiet because I don't have a lot of good things to say
about this film.
Well, about Coppola in general, like.
Oh, he had a run there in the 70s. You know, you do The Godfather, The Conversation, Godfather Part Two, Apocalypse Now. That's a good run.
The Outsiders.
That's fair.
Yeah. That's all right. What was that other one he did with the...
Peggy Sue Got Married?
No, it's the one with Matt Dillon. It's the other, like, gang film.
Rumblefish?
Yes, Rumblefish.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I have not seen it in forever, though. But that's it. That's his 80s stuff. He was kind of okay in the 80s. I need to go back and rewatch some of that stuff, like The Cotton Club. I haven't seen that in forever.
Yeah, I've seen very little of his catalog, I'm recognizing.
Yeah, same here.
Well, he was known for going over budget and over schedule from Apocalypse Now. I think, what was the other one? Cotton Club, I think, was the other big one that went really over budget, which, you know, kind of led him to, in this film, he decided to shoot the whole movie in a soundstage to save on budget.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like you can see that in this whole movie.
It definitely makes it have a style. But also
that's
knowing...
That's a word for it.
It is, Mike. And but also knowing that they captured most of the effects and stuff in camera. There's no, like, digital stuff going on.
Well, yeah, that's not true. The face morph at the end is definitely CGI. They can go fuck themselves on that. I got eyeballs, motherfuckers. I know you didn't do that in camera.
But the force perspective stuff and some of all the overlays.
The overlay stuff, really plays pretty well. I do enjoy that. Like when he's writing his little diary thing on his way to Transylvania or whatever, and you see the train and the book and the eyes and the sky and all that shit looks really cool.
And, you know, I don't know. I think those effects help the backlot set of the movie. You know, it helps it all fit together tonally.
Yes. Yes, it makes it all feel like it's a bit of like a community theater play that we're kind of in on.
A higher quality community theater play, Mike.
I've been to some nice community theaters.
You mean like a rich neighborhood community theater?
Yeah. Okay. Have you not been to Germantown?
Come on, it is way better than that.
I mean, some parts of it aren't.
I mean, what? I mean, outside of Keanu Reeves being terribly miscast in this movie.
That's a good word for it, yeah. Wait, okay, sorry. Are you talking about Keanu or Keanu Old towards the end of the movie?
Oh.
He's not old. He's just been through some shit.
Oh, is that what that was? He goes completely gray hair by the end of the movie.
Yeah, because they've been drinking his blood for fucking, you know, forever.
Excuse me, during your infidelity. Oh.
Well, I couldn't get erect during such things, so it wasn't really cheating. It was pretty cool seeing blood shoot out of his nipple, though, in that close up. Did you see that?
I didn't see blood shooting out of it. I saw her licking the nipple and then
There's a close up where you actually see blood eject from his nipple up into her mouth.
Does it? Well, right.
Yes.
Well, whatever works for her.
It's pretty great.
This movie was a lot more erotic than I anticipated it being. I could have sworn I had seen this movie before because I've seen like a bunch of the, like we said, the overlays and like some of the effect shots and like the shot where you see the rat crawl along the ceiling upside down while he's standing there. I have not seen this movie.
Oh,
when the okay. when like when why is Dracula just like changing in all the things? Like there wasn't a single line that I heard that they were like, oh, well, sometimes he likes to be different things. Like they're just like, well, sometimes he's smoke and sometimes he controls animals. But like, OK, why does sometimes he want to be a fucking
animals.
Werewolf
yeah.
and other times he wants to be plague rats? Like what the fuck? Like,
yeah. Well, you need to be a bat when you want to get airborne. Right. You need to be missed when you need to get through like doors and
doors
stuff.
And shit, yeah.
And you need to be a wolf when you need to get your rape on.
Yeah, apparently.
I mean, I don't know. Makes sense to me.
You want to be a bat creature when you want to hang upside down.
That's right.
We're just hanging out today, guys.
Yeah. Being all huge and shit.
And he's got little T-Rex arms.
Yeah. He's like, look what your god has done to me.
That is a fucking badass scene, dude. When he fucking stomps his foot down and the fucking cross lights up on fire, that is so fucking cool. That is like gothic horror movie, like fucking image. Oh, it's so goddamn great. You know, like the movie does have some problems, but
oh yeah,
all of the fucking imagery in it, like it's just got so many fucking cool ass, rememberable set pieces, and maybe not even set pieces, just but like a shot in a set piece. Like, the bride's coming after Van Helsing. Like, I don't really remember too much of that, but that overhead shot where he is fucking lighting the snow on fire, it's like, how does that even fucking work? But it looks cool
as
shit.
Where he's, like, moving around in the circle, the top-down thing, and there's clearly, like, kerosene that's just laid out, and he's just, like, tapping it as he moves.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, I do like how the movie just comes out swinging with, like, all right, we're going to stab a fucking cross and just have blood, like, pour from the elevator. I mean, sorry, from the cross.
In the coolest fucking suit of armor of all time.
Yeah, but the behind the scenes is so fucking funny because he's trying to walk in it and it's like falling apart and it's all clanking and shit.
Stop,
he's like,
really?
He's like, fuck. He's like, I cannot move in this thing.
Are you guys talking about that red suit?
Yeah, the dragon armor.
I enjoyed it, but it also really heavily reminded me of Power Rangers, which I
guess
came out at the time.
Yes. Oh, wait. Villains are you Power talking about Rangers? The bad guy that was in Power Rangers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, fucking Lord Zedd. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking that it felt like the inner bit of muscle, you know. But you're right. It is very Lord Zedd.
Oh, I mean, muscles. Yeah, I guess I can see that now that you've said it, but that was not my first thought.
Weird, yeah. But the behind the scenes is funny because it's clanking and sounds like plastic. And the pieces
it looks
keep
like
falling
plastic.
Off.
Yeah, it looks like plastic. Yeah.
It actually looks pretty bad. And I hadn't seen the opening scene before. And I was like, am I watching the right movie?
We know that Vlad, Dracula, is immortal. But is fucking Anthony Hopkins? Because he's in the opening scene too.
Well, I think the implication is that he also has reincarnated.
Really?
No, I think he's the narrator.
A version of him is the narrator.
No,
but
like it passes down from like family to family. That's why he looks the same. That's what I thought.
I think he just wrote himself into the story. Is what happened. He's like, oh, I'm the priest. I was always fighting Dracula because he's telling the story as you're watching the movie. I don't know. Otherwise,
yeah, but which version of him is telling the story? The priest or?
I would assume the last one. Yeah. You know, unless he's like, well, in 400 years, this is what's going to happen. Or maybe he's a vampire, too. That's the twist ending.
I didn't think about him being the narrator. Maybe that's why he's so forward with Nina. Gets all
Dude, he is all up on her, like, in such an immediate and uncomfortable kind of way. What's up with these fucking old guys being like, yeah, you don't need personal space, young woman.
Yeah, what is up with that?
It's gross. It's gross.
I don't know. Anthony Hopkins does play Van Helsing a little unhinged. I'm not 100% sure why.
I like it, though, actually.
Yeah, no, he's fun. He is so over the fucking top, though. She's going to be the devil's concubine! It's like, whoa. Anthony, wow. Let's take that line down a notch. You're at 11. We need, like, I don't know, a 6?
I liked that everyone was over, with the exception of Keanu, I liked that everyone was overacting in this. It felt like an homage to the original, like, especially to Nosferatu, which we just watched. It was really nice to kind of see overacting, but in a different way. And also, of course, there's way more dialogue. It's way more interesting. And I don't know, I kind of enjoyed the overacting.
What was it about the overacting that made it enjoyable for you?
It's fun.
It is fun. It did, like I said, it did harken back to the Nosferatu that we just watched. And being overly dramatic is sort of what this movie is all about. Mm. You have all of the costumes that are everything is overly dramatic in this. So why not the acting as well?
Yeah.
And I don't think it takes anything away from it. You're not like, well, this isn't a realistic vampire movie. Like, I don't, I think it builds into some of the lore here, especially because they all kind of commit to this bit of making it over the top.
Yeah. Dracula walks around his castle in his 40-foot long jammy fucking robe thing,
which is amazing.
Like, if you're gonna have a train in your house, it might as well be 40 feet long.
When he's like creeping around outside, when
he's like crawling on the walls,
yeah, and he's crawling, yeah. And the robe is trailing behind him. Like, come on, you want these people to not overact, please?
Yeah, I like how that feels all stop motiony, weird. You know,
I've read that Keanu got the role because he was dating Winona Ryder at the time, and it was like. Like, she made it happen. Is that accurate? Which would explain why he's so miscast.
She wanted him. I don't think they were dating. I think she was dating Johnny Depp at the time.
Oh, okay. Because I heard that Francisco Coppola wanted Johnny Depp, but for some reason couldn't get him.
Yeah.
And so they got Keanu instead. Oh, interesting.
And he wanted, like, Christian Slater at one point, too. And
That would have been good.
Right? All of that would have been good. Johnny Depp would have been great. Christian Slater would have been great.
Is Keanu broke Johnny Depp?
A little bit. Maybe at the time. Maybe not anymore. But at the time, I could see that, yeah. They have a similar, like, kind of facial features. Actually, there were a couple of moments where I did say that, like, oh, I could see, I like, I know it's not Johnny Depp, but like that could have been Johnny Depp in that scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I see that.
Yeah, it's crazy that Coppola, like, I don't know, after the first day, didn't just immediately let Reeves go. I mean, he is so clearly, like, I mean, you can see it in every fucking scene. Like, every other actor is just working around him. Like, I mean, just doing so much more on their face. Just, he's got dead eyes in this movie.
Damn.
I feel like it worked at the very, very beginning when he's saying goodbye and going on a little trip. And I think that his acting was fine there.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
He's adequate. It's just his accent's so weird. You know?
It's really weird. Right, I mean, you know? Winona's is kind of weird as well. Like, why do they have to be like this awkward British version of things? Like, why can't they just be Americans living in Britain or something? Like, change the characters enough so that your actors, if you want these fucking people to be your actors and you can't get a dialogue coach, like, then just write an extra thing in so they, like, they've moved from America and nobody cares. Or is this less offensive?
I think they couldn't afford. I think they did a lot of things on a budget here, including accents.
They had $40 million in 1992. That is a budget.
Shot on a backlot.
Well, they did spend almost all their money on their actors and their fucking costumes. That's where most of their money
was. Crazy special effects.
And special effects.
I mean, they put some fucking money on screen. Absolutely.
And the production design, too, I think.
Yeah.
They actually scaled that back a lot.
Yeah, because they only had $40 million. Listen.
Well, if you look at a lot of the sets, a lot of the sets don't actually have a lot of stuff in them. It's just some walls, and I mean, there's like two sets that are literally just floating candles on a black void.
Oh yeah, it's just the void.
Yeah. There's like nothing there at all.
Here's $20 million, and they just bought like the location, and that was it.
Those candles were expensive. Those are the foot candles that the DPs are always going on about.
That is. It's 50-foot candles right there.
Ridiculous. I don't know. I see their budget, but it's a lot for back in the day.
The most impressive thing is the fucking costumes and the sets, you know. Dracula's got style, you know, with his, like, butt crack hairdo or his crazy blue sunglasses.
His big tits.
He's got big tits?
Boobs on his head.
Oh, yeah. Those are tits. I always thought it was a giant butt crack. But yeah, he's got
they definitely look bad. Boobs.
Well, it depends on if you look in the front or the back. Okay, calm down, guys.
And also, all the shadow work is so damn cool.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I think that was one of my favorite parts of this whole movie, were those visuals.
I like how it's just slightly out of sync. You know, it's like it's always catching up to him.
He's like, oh, shit, you're doing that over there now. Okay, let me...
I do think it's funny when, like, his shadow starts fucking choking Keanu Reeves. That one's pretty good.
I like that his shadow is like that, and I also like to think about, like, you know, basically Dracula hanging out in the castle by himself with his shadow. You know, they're having conversations and he's pantomiming, and
his shadow knows sign language, and Dracula just still doesn't give a shit to learn it.
No, they're just working out their shtick all the time. He's like, all right, look, so. I'm going to walk over here, and I need you to stick for a second and then glide across. Make sure you do the sound when you leave.
Was Winona Ryder hot shit when she did this movie?
I think so.
Yeah. But this is just
I know she had like a big old hot streak, but like, was this kind of in the height of that, or was this?
Yeah, this would have been right after Edward Scissorhands. That was what, 91, 90, something like that? Beetlejuice was 89. Little Women was like, when was that? Was that 93, 94?
After this, I think.
Yeah, I know that was after. 94. That was kind of like when she started.
Yeah. Oh, Reality stuff. Bites was also going downhill. 94. Okay. Yeah.
Well, if she was dating Johnny Depp when she filmed this, then yes, she would. This was at the height, I think.
Edward Scissorhands was 90.
90. All right, there you go. Oh, she was supposed to be in Godfather Part 3, but then dropped out at the last minute.
She dropped out?
Yeah. She dropped out to be in Edward Scissorhands, I believe.
Oh.
That's a good move.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah. I think she fed Coppola some bullshit where, like, she's like, oh, I don't feel good. And then she went off and did Edward Scissorhands and then, like, had a meeting with her later. It was like, you know, like, oh, no hard feelings or anything. And she's like, hey, I kind of want to do this script. Why don't you read it? And it was Dracula.
She brought it to him.
This is her fault.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't originate this project. This was like the writer wrote it on his own. Studio picked it up and got actors attached. And Winona Ryder, I think, was like the first one. She really wanted to do it. I'm not in love with her either in this movie, to be honest with you.
Well, that was why I was wondering about it, because, like, I mean, obviously Keanu could have been cast more differently. But, like, there are moments where I'm like, I don't understand why I'm watching, like, Winona Ryder do this part. Like, I don't know who else from that time period would have been maybe better, but, like, there
she
are
gave
moments,
the best
yeah.
line reading of Jonathan. Jonathan!
Really, I was excited to see her on the screen.
I like the girl that played Lucy a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was, like, convincing the whole time. Winona Ryder felt like she was acting. I think that's maybe the good way to describe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the same way that Gary Oldman felt like he was acting. That was at least a delicious performance that we got to chew on while he was chewing on every single line. But, like, yeah.
Take me away from all this death.
Oh, my prince. I am obsessed with him. After 3 weeks, my
but
girl.
I love you.
He put a spell on her.
Yeah, he put a spell on her. Because it did pop up out of nowhere. They're like, oh, we're together now.
But everybody, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the way everyone moved in the movie as soon as they met him, right?
Yeah, he does a lot of hand wavy, and then people in front of him as he's about to arrive are like, oh my God, I want you.
Oh, but she's, Winona is the reincarnation of his dead, almost wife, right?
Yeah.
Supposed to be.
So I think there may be actually some feelings there, you know, for real feelings.
That's why he's like crying. You know, he's sitting amongst the candles, like half turned into his demon form, and he's just like weeping tears of blood and tears.
Got Dracula crying and werewolf face.
Yeah. That's really strange.
That is weird. And it's like, yeah, he is crying like blood, right? Is it? Or
it's tears and blood. Well, okay. He's got like water on his face, but also blood tears.
So he's not quite Jesus.
That's some good crying.
I couldn't tell if it was just like tears, it was like hitting the ink of the letter. And that was given the, I don't know, the tears colors or what? What was going on there? That is a weird scene.
It is really weird.
Mm-hmm. It's weird just seeing, I don't know, Dracula cry and like be kind of romantic and, you know, like,
no, I cannot turn you. I cannot damn you to this eternity or whatever.
Yeah.
I like it.
Come on, man. Drink from me. Let's get this done.
Yeah. I thought it was sweet.
No, I've grown into, like, when I first saw this movie, I absolutely hated it. Of course, I was, like, 11 years old, so I was, like, not the demographic for a love story with Dracula. I was not ready for that take. I was much more like, yeah, let's fucking, let's go kill some people, and then Van Helsing, let's go stake this fucker. Ah, his demonic ass. That's what I was there for. But over the years, yeah. The love story's grown on me a little bit.
Dude, Lucy and those scary-ass brides are all creepy as fuck. And especially yep. when Lucy's got that damn Tudor style like lace collar on,
oh, that was
so
great.
Fucking creepy.
I enjoyed all of that. It was all great.
Yeah, the reveals to see like, oh my God, there's actually a bite right there. The costumes did a lot of work.
Yeah,
they look fantastic.
The bite marks look good too.
They do. Yeah. Way better than Nosferatu.
Yes.
Oh, it's mosquito bites.
On either side of their larynx? How do you even, like, I don't understand. You got to turn sideways. How is it that? And whatever.
They did something really cool with Lucy when they were like, he gets her to get back into her coffin, but they shoot that in reverse.
Yeah.
And then play it back. And the way she, like, lands all weirdly into it is so cool and wicked feeling.
There's a bunch of times where they do reverse footage in the movie. I think it looks awesome, though. I super love it. I wish we did this more.
It fits the scary vibe, like, a lot. It just feels unnatural.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah.
Like, Keanu Reeves' best part of the whole fucking movie is when he walks into Dracula's castle. You know? That one footstep. But they shot that in reverse, and that's why that motion looks weird when he, like, starts to go, like, forward. It's got that weird jerk to it. That's why.
He gets drug into the carriage. Yeah, that's fucking cool. Like the guy's like kind of like
when
floats.
They reach the fucking arm.
Oh yeah,
and he like floats over there and grabs him and like pulls him up into it in a single motion. Very, very, very cool.
Yeah, it's like a big telescoping arm that like can also pick up a full grown man?
No, it's a dude riding the crane on a dolly, and Keanu's on another dolly that's being pushed in just under frame to push him in.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So the guy on the carriage is actually attached to the camera.
Oh, I see.
And he floats over with him and drags him in, and then they push him, another dolly pushes him up into the, and lifts him up into the carriage. Incredible.
That's cool.
Yeah. They definitely got their money worth out of their dollies and moving platforms in this film, I tell you that. I feel like every time fucking Dracula walks in, he's like glide, especially floating, in the beginning.
Yeah.
So many times gliding.
I just like when you see his there's one point where Keanu like looks up and he sees his shadow, or no, he feels him like come up on his shoulder, and you see his hand touch his shoulder, and then he turns around, he's still in the doorway.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so fucking cool. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Easy stuff, man, but it's still effective.
It plays, and the score really helps.
Oh, fucking score is incredible. God
yeah,
damn it.
The score
so
is really, really good.
Yeah, I think it does. The score may do, like, you know, more than 50% of the heavy lifting here. It's just, like, visuals and badass music, and, you know, Keanu Reeves' shitty acting can't even stop you from having a good time.
We can marry when I return.
Dude. Ja. Wait.
My love.
Let's play the trailer for Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula. We'll be right back.
Here occurred the frightening and shocking history of Prince Dracula and the woman he loved.
I have crossed oceans of time to find you.
Yeah. Dracul.
There's a sinister, darker side to him. I find irresistible. I have never met any man with such a passion for life. He is unlike any man. What are you?
Vampires do exist. This one we fight. This one we face can take on many forms. He is both young and old. He can appear as mist, as vapor, as the fog. And he can vanish at will.
Oh, my love.
The power of his evil desire has no end.
You've got to go to him. You've got to love him.
She is a willing recruit and devoted disciple. She is the devil's concubine! Dagger!
Join me in eternal life. Your salvation is his destruction.
I want to be what you are. I want to see what you see. I want to love what you love.
Take me away from all this death.
Make no mistake, he must be stopped.
All right, we're back. That was the trailer for Francis Ford Coppola's... Wait for it. Bram Stoker's Dracula. Oh! Third time's a charm.
Yeah. They didn't let Keanu say one word in that trailer.
Why would they? Why
Smart.
Would they? Yeah. They want people to go to the movie.
And you didn't know that this was a love story, Brian, I think.
It's all about love.
Very clear.
Yeah, but, you know, Kristen, when I saw that trailer, I just saw monsters, you know? Did you see the bat and the rats and all that other stuff? Oh,
yeah,
I was so excited. And my parents didn't let me go see this in, you know, in the theater because they saw it before me and there were boobies in it.
Lots of boobies.
And the buckets of blood, not an issue, but the
soon
fucking...
As there are boobs.
Yeah, the Dude. Four pair of tits that are on the screen. Oh my gosh.
That sex, that like bloody sex scene in the bed is pretty sensual. And you know, as soon as she pops up tits out, and it's like, holy shit, here we go.
Monica Bellucci.
Oh, is that, is that Monica Bellucci?
Yeah.
She's looking good.
First time I ever remember seeing her on screen. She left an impression.
Fair and appropriate.
She was leaving footprints in the rug as she was walking over.
She's not my my favorite bride, though, is the one that, like, goes down and does the dick bite. Like, she looks so great with that, like, weird snake hair. Oh, it's so...
Yeah.
She looks so good. And her contacts looks amazing. Oh.
Creepy as fuck, yes.
Oh, yeah. And I really love the vampire teeth in this movie. Like, the fangs retracting on Gary Oldman are awesome. But then also when, like... Lucy goes like all crazy, you know, it's like in the day, but when she tries to bite like Quincy in the neck and then like Van Helsing grabs her and he's like, oh, look here. And you can actually see like her teeth, her canines. And then above them are these other sets of like teeth, like further up in her gums.
Yeah.
Those look really fucking good.
That was the coolest thing I'd ever seen at the time. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
A lot better than the Nosferatu next to each other. Rat fang type. You know, buck teeth.
Yeah. Buck teeth aren't very scary.
She's a vampire, Nosferatu,
vampire. Yeah, good makeup though. Good lighting. Come on, you guys haven't even talked about this lighting. This lighting is amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of really really great shots in this movie. Like very impressive.
No light love here, guys.
It's all light love. The filmmaking craft is really high here, and especially because they're catching all this shit in camera and they're shooting, you know, rewinding the film and doing double exposures and like all this shit. It's crazy. I can't believe they only took like 60 days to shoot it. Yeah. But that's two crews. That's an A unit and B unit shooting both for 60 days straight.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, the second unit also had, it was run by his son, Roman, and they actually had, like, the principal actors. Like, when they weren't with Coppola, they were with Roman.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
that's a good way to run B unit.
Yeah, like, he actually went through, and he was talking on the audio commentary where, like, there are a couple of close-ups of Anthony Hopkins that he shot. Just because they shot the whole scene and everything. It's like, oh, well, we don't have time for that. We'll come back for it.
Fascinating.
Roman's like, well, you know, my dad and these guys, he already set the tone. I'm just coming in for the close-up. I'm like, that's a pretty big responsibility
bro. That's the most important shot of that scene.
No fucking kidding. I mean, there's a lot to be said for, like, building a world. That's pretty fucking huge. No one's going to contest that. But at the same time, like, when you're going in for the emotion, for the details, that's where all the fucking drama comes from.
I really like all the prep they did. They all got together weeks before the production and sat around the table and read the novel and they played games and did like, you know, improv things together and just kind of hung out, to kind of like get the weird off before they got in and started doing all this.
Hmm.
And he was very open to like, changing things. And if you found something with character, they'd go back and rewrite it. And then that really big bat scene, you know, where he comes in and they light the cross on fire when he's in his giant suit. They were having trouble getting tone, and so they put a blindfold on everybody, and they had Gary Oldman go around in his outfit and say weird, demonic, fucked up shit in their ear to kind of like freak them out before they rolled.
That got him in the tone, huh?
Yeah, I think it's fucking cool.
Nah, Coppola always does weird shit like that. He's, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. He's bohemian. How about that?
We're here to play, man. Let's get it.
Yeah. You can't say the man doesn't support his actors.
Yeah.
Even though I thought it was hilarious that fucking, I have never seen a behind the scenes ever once where an actor is literally requesting for a mark and the director's like, no, I'm not putting one down. The mark is the line. You walk in, say the line. That's the mark. And Gary Oldman's like, no, motherfucker, I need a mark on the floor. I don't think you understand.
And he kept missing it. He's like, up, Gary, you missed it. You missed it again. And he ends up getting pissed. I've seen the uncut version of that clip where they get into argument. And he fucking like storms off set in his fucking like, you know, tit head costume with someone like chasing him with the train.
That's wild. Like, why don't they just give him a fucking mark? Like, is he trying to see the floor in the whole shot? Like,
no. No. They just want him to be in the moment and capture it.
Well, if you want to be in the moment, but also you make me keep missing it like six times in a row, give me a goddamn mark. What the fuck? How is this hard?
It's kind of a big deal.
He's a real actor. He wouldn't need one. Come on.
No, the actor was requesting for it. That's the crazy part. That's what I don't understand. It's like, what world is this happening right now? I don't understand.
He goes, all you got to do is fucking take a piece of white chalk and do a little line right, you know, where you want it.
I'm kind of with Gary Oldman on this one.
Yeah, same. There's a lot to be said for, like, I will be in the moment, but I need to, like, find out where the cadence and the pacing needs to be. It's like when I'm trying to, like, like track an actor doing, like, a specific thing, and then, like they change the cadence every single time. It's like, no. I figured it out the first one. Just do it the same way the second time. We'll be fine. Like, stop changing it every single goddamn time.
There's a difference between chasing a performance and capturing a performance.
Exactly.
And you want to capture a performance. Yeah.
Yeah, but so if you kind of have a sense of this is where I need to be about when I'm doing the thing, then you can kind of let the meta thought process of it go and just live in the feeling of it, because you kind of have that pacing, that sense of timing.
Yeah. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall on this set, though.
A lot of cool shit going on.
Bunch of egos going on, too.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Keanu Reeves, who was probably like, my accent sucks. I'm over here in the corner. Hi, guys. I'm nice. I'm the nice Hawaiian. How are you?
I feel like it's hard to talk about the costumes because there's just so many, like, you could go scene by scene and talk about each costume in each scene and how absolutely incredible it was. And I really loved that the costume designer, who is Japanese, took such artistic license with so many ideas. It's one of the things that I love of taking something that would be historically accurate, but adding your own style to it and adding a style of the movie to it. And one of the things that I really enjoyed was all of the texture, and that go like from velvet, like the velvet coat that one of the guys wears, to different types of woven fabric, to embroidered, to satin, to like there's just so much, and it looks so luxurious on screen. And it's something that you just don't really see anymore. And it works so well in this gothic kind of vampire movie. But I feel like it would also like kind of stand on its own. It's not like you don't look at it and go, oh, this is a gothic vampire piece. It's something that it works really well. There's only one outfit that I didn't particularly enjoy, and it was Lucy when she's having a romantic interlude with the werewolf in the garden, because I was like, she wouldn't have that in her closet.
Oh, you don't think she'd have that?
That's not something you'd be able to buy. Like for the time period, I mean, that's a very modern, that's very modern. Mm. And it was so out of place, I thought. And I think they were trying
fabric?
To, no, that was what, wait, Lucy's the friend. Who's Winona Ryder? Yeah.
Mina.
No, Winona Ryder, Nina. Whatever Winona Ryder was wearing. Oh, that was also like wildly inappropriate. The sheer nightgown. She had something over it that was like open, and then she was like running up and down stairs. Everything was just like out
flowing.
And bouncing.
Yeah.
But at least, I mean, you know, it fit, I guess. But you could tell a man is directing this. And then, but no, her friend in the garden. I was like, that dress, like, that's not a nightgown. That's something that you would buy to go, like, out to a club today. Like, that's not, that was the only one that I had an issue with. But everything else, I thought, was absolutely amazing. And then when when everyone starts turning into vampires, the costume designer really started playing with all, making everything extra dramatic and making everything just more and bigger. And I thought it worked so well. It was really incredible to see.
Yeah. When I was young, I thought it'd be crazy to like have Dracula without the cape. And this movie just like does it, and you don't even question it. You don't think about it. Like, the movie's over, you never think like, oh, Dracula wasn't in the classic iconic cape. Huh.
Well, his long train is kind of capey.
Yeah, they start with the biggest red. Fucking cape ever, and then he's like, yeah, I have enough cape for the rest of the movie. I don't need a cape anymore.
And this is nothing like Bela Lugosi's, like, you know, like, he's wearing a black suit. Like
he's wearing a fucking, yeah.
Yeah, like with a tie, and then he's got a cape. Yeah,
and that's kind of what I mean when I say that, like, everything kind of pays homage to what came before it, but it was definitely turned into its own thing here. It was really well done, I thought. Because, yeah, you're right. You don't even question it. You're just like, oh, that makes sense. What you're showing me makes so much sense.
The only one that kind of like, the only costume moment that makes me go like, what the fuck is this dude wearing is the gold robe.
Oh, when he like leans up out of the fucking coffin the first time and he's wearing that and then he's wearing it again at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked it.
I like it, but it does take you aback. It's just like, oh, this doesn't match anything else in the entire movie.
Oh, I assumed it was to show that he's old and or wealthy because he can travel. That was what I got from that.
Oh, because
older than he appears. Yeah. And didn't it have, like, weren't there designs on it? Like,
didn't it
look more, like, Asian-inspired? I thought it was more...
They were copying a painting that they saw in an Asian-style painting.
Yeah, I thought it was Asian-style. So assuming that he can travel and had money, and that's what I... And generally then older than he appears. Oh, he was old there, though, wasn't he? But still.
He's always old, and he's always young.
Just pick one, man.
It's just, you know, he's... Has the mosquito been topped off? He's full of blood, very young, you know.
What's crazy is
Gary that what Oldman, it's supposed to be?
I think so, right? Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do. Like, if he hasn't, like, fed recently or something, yeah, he gets old.
So that's why he's not just young all the time, because he's not literally feeding all the time?
Well, they show you, like, he gets young while he eats all the people on the ship. And then he comes back and sucks Lucy's blood, and then the next day he's young.
I thought they had him in. He was buried in one of the boxes, and he's covered in that like film. And I thought that the staying in that dirt.
Yeah, but like, he was leaving him at that point because he had already had that fight with the first run in with the vampire hunters. So I think he was leaving, and that's why like he's in that box of dirt like all the way until he gets to Transylvania, and then he's like an old man again. I guess because he hasn't been feeding.
Wait, are you talking about the way there or the way back?
The way there.
On the way back.
On the way back. Yeah, sorry.
On the way there, like, we cut into the wolf having sex in the garden, but he's still on the ship.
It's like cross-cutting with the ship. That's like, these are things happening while he's also traveling. He's, like, going back and forth and shit.
And it makes sense, because I feel like he's going to... Yeah, the timeline of that didn't really make sense to me.
No, he's on the ship, and they show you he gets off the ship. You're thinking about the wolf stuff.
I'm telling you, he blows up out of the crate after the fucking wolf sex scene in the movie.
Yes. But
that doesn't make sense because he's already there.
Yes, but he's breaking out of the crate. That's at Carfax Abbey. He's already at Carfax Abbey. He's no longer on the ship. Once he leaves the ship in wolf form, he's out. He didn't go back to the ship. That's the last time you see the ship. Every other time is at Carfax Abbey, which looks like a pile of ruins in this movie. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Nosferatu.
Mm-hmm.
I was just confused how he was out and about as a wolf, but then he's still in the crate.
Well, it's confusing because there's the wolf that escapes the zoo.
Yeah.
That happens while he's on the ship. And then he gets off the ship, and then he, like, kills some guys, like, on his way to whatever. And then he runs into Lucy and eats her. Or
there's
has a, sex
eats
with her.
Her out.
Whatever. Yeah.
Eats her out, yeah. when he attacks Mina at that party, when he's like floating with her and he like ends up like throwing her down, there's a wolf that runs around behind him in the background, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
A white wolf.
It's the same one from the zoo.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what all the newspapers are about.
Yeah.
About the wolf
that
escapes.
Image a few times. That's one of the implications of how he can control the animals around him, kind of thing. Which is why I found it interesting that he also becomes a fucking werewolf. Like, why does he need to be a werewolf? He's already a vampire. Like, why are we changing this kind of mythology or whatever? But
I mean, that's in the book.
I guess
he's a bat wolf thing.
He's a creature who eats. Okay.
What's going to blow your mind, Mike, is that he was 33 when doing this.
Who, Gary Oldman?
Yeah.
He's been an old man for a long time. Yeah, no, I'm a little speechless.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
He has been an old man for a long time. I'm just fucking thinking about this. I'm like, that guy was never young. Yeah. He was never
fucking
young.
If you see him in the behind the scenes, he looks younger. They aged him up a lot, you know, for all these moments. And his weird earlobes and all the things that they do to make him gross. His hairy palms, you know.
A lot of time in the makeup chair for this movie.
Yeah, dude.
But even when he's like sexy Dracula with mustache, he looks like he's 40. I know.
Yeah, no, he looks like he's like 40, 45.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely broad enough that it feels gross that he's with Winona Ryder. Was that just me? Oh, sorry.
She's really young in this. No, but she's really young in this.
She is really young in this. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
There was
like,
a lot
even
of
even if she's supposed to be like reincarnated, like falling in love, whatever, it's still like she's still young.
That's why they made him a prince, so it's okay, right?
Oh, my prince.
As soon as she heard the word prince, she's like, oh, yeah. Okay, I see.
I thought it was so funny that, yeah, she did hear the word prince, and she was, like, seeing him, and then Keanu was like, let's get married, and she was like, oh, I'll be right back, let me just go marry this guy, and then I'll be right back.
BRB. Okay, 20-year-old.
Yeah, well, who's it? Is it like Quincy when he's talking to Lucy when he comes into the party? He's like, oh, my dear baby girl, my sweet. And I was just like,
oh, my little girl.
Oh, yeah. I was just like, man, this is creepy. Yeah. Don't say that to some girl you want to. You fucking.
The Rocketeer?
Yes. Cliff Secord is here. And he's playing Cowboy. Got it. Okay.
Yep. And Cary Elwes was great, too.
That's true.
Yeah,
Cary Elwes is pretty great in this, I got to say. I didn't realize he was in this before. I enjoyed him a lot.
Whatever you have to do. Yeah, Richard E. Grant was good too. Yeah, all the suitor guys were good. All of Lucy's suitors. Maybe I just liked that storyline better. I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. In this movie, because I did enjoy Lucy and like all of I loved all that stuff. Let's get rid of the American cast in this and remake it.
I needed to make it marketable, and since she brought it, you know, Winona Ryder brought it, you know, it had to be her.
Coppola could have gotten her back. He'd be like, you know how you dropped out of that last movie like a month before? Goodbye, a month right now. Boom, you're out.
Ooh, that would be cold. That would be very, very cold. She could have been Lucy. She could have been great as Lucy.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, she's got too much of a whiny voice for that. I don't know.
I'll say it this way. I think she would have been a better Lucy than she was this character that she was.
Possibly.
Lucy was just so standout, you know.
Yeah, no, she was fantastic. Loved her character. Loved that actress. She was great.
I like when she's coming down into the crypt and they're all waiting and she's carrying this, like this little kid. And when she sees what's going on, she just like flings it down. She's like, bleh, get out of my hands. Oh, and at one point, like, Dracula feeds all the wives a baby.
Yeah.
And some great Keanu, like,
what are we supposed to eat?
Thank God that scene ends and Gary Oldman's laugh. It's just like, oh, thank you, reminder.
Oh, it's such a great shot of Gary Oldman right there.
Yeah. I like that iris.
That trailer shot. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good evil laugh.
Fun film transitions in this.
Yeah, there are a bunch of really cool ones. All the match cuts on mostly circular objects.
Yeah, and I like the shots of the book of the diary. You know, we're cutting to everyone's diary, but all the words on the screen remind me of the inner titles from the Nosferatu kind of vibe of that, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but they like incorporate it into the world in a really interesting way.
Yeah,
yeah.
Apparently, that one with the train in the background is like a 20-foot book. Just to get the perspective.
Yes,
which is incredible.
It's fucking massive.
What would let's get the shadow?
Yeah, they wanted the shadow of the smoke
of the train.
Train and all that. Yeah,
yeah, on the book.
It looks pretty fucking fantastic.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So yeah, the effects dude on the scenes is like, it's gonna have to be on like a 25-foot book. The guy was like, yeah, yeah, it will be. It's a big fucking book.
Looks good on camera too.
Yeah, it does.
Helps with deep focus a little bit. And they got the dot on the eye in focus. Can we get a little more light in here?
Well, I guess we should. We did already talk about the budget, but we did not talk about the gross. This movie made a whopping $82.5 million in the United States, made $215 million worldwide.
Damn.
For an R-rated horror film, that's pretty good.
That's a fair amount.
Boycotted in the U.S. because of all the sex?
I don't think
Vampire
so.
Vampire titties.
It had the
appropriate for our children.
It had the highest grossing opening weekend of any film for the month of November until next weekend when Home Alone 2 Lost in New York came out. And beat it by a million. But, it's still a huge hit. Saved Coppola didn't have to save his sell his house or all of his winemaking estate. I don't know if he just had a vineyard there or if he had, like, a whole compound. I'm not sure, but he got to save it. Dracula saved it.
Well, that's reassuring.
It won 3 Oscars as well.
Oh, wow.
For what?
Costume, makeup, and sound effects editing.
Yeah, all great.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Oh, I did like the old style script that they wrote with in this for the book instead of Nosferatu. Did anyone notice the type in this?
What do you mean?
You know, when
like
they
the font?
Yeah. It was more so Nosferatu had more like I guess old English style. And this was like longer and looked more like scratches. I mean, it was still legible, but it looked more
handwritten.
Handwritten and also a bit creepier and kind of fitting for the vampire film. It kind of reminded me, with all the long strokes, it reminded me of like stakes.
I like those kinds of touches.
And this was also just fun and silly, and it was, yes, a very serious love story, and also everyone was dying and murder. But it was also like silly and fun, and I thought it was a really nice mix of styles.
Yeah, I definitely like the tone. I love everything being theatrical. Like when it's kept like this, you know, it's not like there's no moment where it breaks reality. Well, this movie's version of reality, you know, and gives you something that is real or, you know, or out of place. Like everything fits so well. It is a little jarring, I'll give you, for like, you know, when you first watching it, the first 5 minutes. But then once you get sucked in, you're just...
Yeah.
The movie does grab you.
Well, I think the other reason the first 5 minutes are a bit jarring, you're not really expecting it, but also the costumes are a bit different. And I think that plastic suit is just a little much. I think it works. I like it. But it's a little much, and it doesn't really fit with the rest of the style of the movie. It looks more hokey. That the first 5 minutes look more hokey than the rest of the film. Like the rest of the film is for some reason more believable.
What's super impressive about that opening is the silhouette battle is all puppets, and it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Well, there's foreground actors.
The stuff looks really clean, though, is what I'm saying. It feels good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It is kind of crazy when you think they just got away with, like, here's some bullshit wooden cutout figures, you know, and here's a backdrop with some fucking clouds projected on it.
Yeah.
Make a scene. Boom. Magic. It's like really a bunch of nothing. It's like smoke and mirrors. I love that.
All of it. Yeah. All that, like, horse running carriage stuff. All that stuff's all, like, on a soundstage. It's crazy that it pulls off as well as it does.
It's almost like we used to be able to make films.
Like there were people skilled in the arts that they were assigned to. We still pull that off. It's just in a computer instead of on a stage. It's still artists, goddammit.
Sure, no, I didn't say that.
Uh-huh. I like the way this feels more than I like the way the volume feels.
Oh, I'll give you that, yeah.
Like this feels like, even with the bare sets, you know, and I guess you could even accuse like these sets of being similar to the volume. Like there's like, you know, one table in the middle of a giant room and there's not a lot else, but
yeah,
just the way it's shot, it's more cinematic. And is that just who's framing the shot? You know, who's looking through the lens? Is that really all it is? I don't know.
I think that's a lot of it. I think it also has to do with the ways that you can light a physical space to have a certain amount of fall off versus like the volume needs an amount of light to come through it because it is a projected background. And the ways that something like the volume has to have depth maps in order for like just the physicality of the light to be appropriate. Like I think our eyes are tuned to what it looks like for a shot to be in focus at a certain point and to have stuff fall off behind it. And the ways that bokeh works and blur circles get bigger. Like you can replicate that kind of stuff, but like our eyes are used to what it looks like and we can tell when things aren't quite off. So like when there's a background that's like slightly behind an actor and it feels a little bit either too blurry or not blurry enough, you can kind of like, why does that feel weird? Well, those of us who understand what's going on can say, oh, that's obviously a background. And that I think is what throws most people off when they're looking at something like the volume, is there are still enough of those uncanny valley parts where we haven't quite figured out, oh, that's the background. But it looks more realistic than we're used to, but still not quite as realistic as it's supposed to be. With a set like this, you can throw up a couple lights in the background and get a little bit of like specular highlights, and your brain says, it's a big room. Cool, got it. And you just kind of move on and you get stuck with what the actors are doing.
This is the way. Because that was shot in a volume. Anybody got anything else?
I saw what you did there.
Are we at ratings?
Yeah, probably.
All right. All right, who wants to go first? Who wants to rate Bram Stoker's Dracula?
I'll go first because everybody else will rate it way fucking higher than I'm going to.
You're giving it a 9.5. Love it. Moving on, Jared. No, just kidding.
I think there's a lot to love about this. I would probably love it more if I watched it a second time. The first time I was just kind of like, oh, fuck, this is not what I thought it was. I had the idea in my head going into this that I'd seen it before, and apparently I'd seen enough of the elements from it that I had constructed the movie in my brain, but I had not actually seen it. And so I spent most of the movie being like, this is a bonkers ride that I was just not expecting. which in some moments was really fun and really cool and interesting. And other times I was like, what the fuck are they even doing? That has way more to do with, like, I guess the original story and the ways that this was implemented. But as far as the technicalities of this, like the production design was fucking amazing. I think the cinematography is pretty spectacular. I love the shadows and the silhouettes and the ways that they incorporate all of the effects, like the stop motion and the playing things back in reverse. And like, it feels like they pulled out 100 years of film techniques to make this movie work. And I think it all comes together really well from a technical perspective. I just honestly didn't love the story and some of the actors in it were kind of took me out of it. Like I enjoyed young Keanu, but he was distracting for me, honestly, is probably the best way to describe it. I enjoyed Gary Oldman just chewing through all his lines and clearly having a ball. I didn't really believe, what's her name? The main character chick. Jesus, I'm sorry.
Winona.
Yes, thank you. I didn't really believe Winona. I don't know if I just like don't vibe with like her older work when she's younger and whiny and romantic or whatever, but like it just, I don't know. It was weird. But I loved all the side characters in this, like the three suitors and her best friend. Like I wanted to see more of them on screen because I felt more connected to her and those three characters trying to be with her than I did to Winona, like the entire time that she didn't know if she wants Keanu old or Keanu or Gary young man or any. She couldn't figure it out. My issues with the story notwithstanding, it's a pretty well-executed movie that I'm glad I finally actually saw. I'm going to give it a solid 8. Worth having seen. It's just not necessarily my jam, but it's incredibly well-executed.
And you get a point for working Gary Oldman in there. I'm sorry, Youngman, like it was nothing. Just part of your sentence. Who's going next?
I think this is a great movie. I think it's funny and it's you know, interesting. It's interesting. I think interesting is a really good word. And it keeps you entertained. And I do think it kind of starts to lag at some point. I was like, what are we doing, guys? Like, let's get it together. The acting is mostly pretty good. There are some questionable actors in it, but I think you can kind of deal with that considering everything else is so outstanding. When you look at the costumes, the production design, the cinematography, everything just to look at is beautiful and incredible and incredibly artistic. And yeah, and the script is fun too, which makes it really great. It could be edited a bit, but that's okay. It's okay. It's not the first movie that has had issues with that. I'm going to give this, what did you give it, Mike? What did you give it?
An 8.
Oh, okay. So I guess I'll give it a 9.
All right. 8 and a 9. Okay.
Oh yeah. I'm not going to wrap it up. You're going to do a way better wrap up than me, Brian.
I'm just going to cut him and put him at the end now.
Man, the filmmaking in this, like all the technical stuff, is absolutely incredible, especially because they were doing everything the old way. This was at the time when, you know, digital effects were really taking hold, and they could have done a lot of this stuff digitally, but they wanted to hold back, and the way they wanted to do it was say, we're going to try to do it the way that they could have done it back when this was written, quote unquote, if you had to, which is bullshit. But it definitely gives it a vibe. It gives it a theatrical, and this is very theatrical, which makes it kind of cool. I want to give it a 9.5 because I'm going to pull back one half of a point for the bad acting. It just doesn't fit. It's not cohesive. It doesn't fit everything else. Keanu is just, I love Keanu Reeves, but he's just wrong. He's absolutely wrong in this. And for that, I'm going to have to take a half a point.
Half a point off for Keanu. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's generous. I'm not gonna take any points off. We're gonna go with 10. This was my Dracula. This came out when I was like fucking 10 years old. All right. I saw it when I was 11. I lost my mind. I thought the makeup was incredible. I mean, this was. I just lose my mind when fucking studios actually give horror films real budgets. Like, even now, like, Blumhouse is, like, killing it at the box office and everything else like that, but, like, only Blumhouse, you know, is funding these horror movies, and they're giving them, like, $10 million to go make Halloween. It's like, what? You know it's going to make, like, over $100 million, bro? Like, why are you doing that? You fucking cheap-ass fucking bastards. But, I mean, you know, whatever. That's the story with the horror genre, right? Like, you always get, like, Roger Cormans and all these, like, cheap-asses. It's nice to see somebody spend some fucking money, man. It's nice to see, like, big actors. It's nice to see, like, a lot of fucking creativity and money just put on screen. Like, thank you. Like, I want to see, like, my horror movies look like my fucking historical dramas and everything else. Like, I want to see the money on screen.
Mm.
And, I mean, just for that, you know... It holds such a special place in my heart. It's so fun. The music is so good. I mean, I will say maybe the soundtrack is doing like 50% of the fucking emotional lifting, if not maybe 70%, you know? And then the rest of it's like Gary Oldman and Anthony Hopkins and Sadie Frost, who played Lucy. Like, you know, like these are the highlights of the movie for me. Everything looks cool. It's got a lot of cool blood. It's got a lot of cool horror movie moments. Like the visuals are so like, they just stick with you. That's what I want. You know, like, are they nightmare fuel? I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if this movie's scary, but like, I don't need like these gothic horror movies to be scary. I don't even want to be like in a, I definitely don't want a jump scare moment. I'd like to just be in the world of the macabre. You know, in this setting, it's fine. I'm going to give it a 10. Yeah, it's got flaws. Keanu Reeves totally sucks. Winona, she probably sucks as well. She is awful. Goddamn whiny. Some of her line deliveries are just really terrible. But man, I really like all the British actors. God, you know, British folk know how to act.
Yeah.
Overblown in the best sense of the word, Francis Ford Coppola's vision of Bram Stoker's Dracula rescues the character from decades of campy interpretations and features some terrific performances to boot.
Oh, okay.
I like how they put some in there. They're like, some quotes.
Some guys.
Rotten Tomatoes brings Bram Stoker's Dracula in with a 69% tomato meter and a 79% popcorn meter.
It got 69 because it's a sexy vampire movie.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Oh. So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, X, whatever it's called now, at Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at checkthegate.
And Griggs, where can they follow you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's G-R-I-G-G-S-Y Media.
And Kristen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter at Elkins Edits. And tonight we're going to close out definitely with track two from the Bram Stoker's Dracula soundtrack. This is going to be titled Vampire Hunters. And this is from composer Wojciech Kilar? That's not even a real fucking name. Come on, Google. Come on.